Blog Talk Radio.
I met them out at Parafest a couple weeks ago, and they're just badass girls. I mean, they're so freaking hot and just totally badass. So it's gonna be awesome to rock out with them tonight.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, the Parafest weekend, CPR Matt and Dennis were there, and they did a live broadcast. And I remember listening in, and Coffin Cuties were talking to Matt and Dennis on the air. So yeah, I got the idea to contact them and get them on the show and talk to them about what they do.
I think it's an awesome idea, and I'm super excited because I am going to be shooting with Mike soon, so super pumped for that. I mean, his work is just so freaking hot. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, kind of like some of the photographs that you have from Parafest with Mr. Freddy Krueger.
Yes, Mr. Krueger put his olives on his gloves and was feeding me olives from his knife gloves. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
maybe a little sexual, I don't know.
Oh, well, you know. You can't.
And Freddie
didn't
like to get freaky, what can I say?
Yeah, right? Why not? I mean, it's fun to just have fun. I mean, crap. Anything you do nowadays is under the microscope, especially being in the paranormal field. You know, everybody wants to find a reason to talk about somebody. So, hell, you might as well have fun when you do it.
Exactly. Give them something to talk about, right?
That's right. You know, Jody told me yesterday on the phone, you know, she had a blast at Scarefest, and but that's all the details I'm going to divulge. I'll let Jody talk about it when she gets back on air next week, because she was cracking the
laugh
for me.
Jody and I are pretty much a match made in hell. I mean, we're fucking out of control.
I agree, but that's what I like. I like crazy girls. I can't be around a bunch of lamos. Got to have some excitement around me.
Exactly. You got to keep the party going.
That's right. That's right. So, and on a more somber note, I just wanted to say our thoughts and prayers go out to the people, families that were involved in the shootings yesterday. That was a horrible thing that happened. It just never ceases to amaze me how this world works and some of the crazy things that people do. But, I couldn't believe that happened yesterday.
I know. When I saw that, I was just totally, I mean, it's like it is shocking, but at the same time, we live in such a sick world anymore that shootings are so common and it's happening more and more, and you just sometimes you wonder what the hell's going on here.
Oh yeah, I know. You know, and it's not just guns. We had down here in Texas about a month ago, it was about 3 weeks ago. We had one of my friends that's in the paranormal. Her daughter goes to a high school here down here in Texas, and at this high school in the cafeteria before school started, one boy went up to another boy and stabbed him to death, and he died.
It's just unreal.
So, yeah. That's another reason why I'm not teaching in the public school system anymore. I did it for 9 years, and it was progressively getting worse. So, and so here down here in Texas, a lot of the teachers, school districts are arming their teachers. There's teachers now walking around with guns.
You know, I don't really want to get into the politics of it, but I'm going to say I don't think that's a bad idea, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know.
If half the teachers had been armed in these other places, there may not have been so many casualties.
Yep. That's my belief. I was actually a school teacher, so, you know, I was there. I know what you go through on a day-to-day basis. That's what happened, you know, yesterday with the shooting. That was horrible, and I haven't looked at the crazy news. Normally, Jody, I don't know where the hell she finds these news clips, but she finds some pretty crazy things. A couple weeks ago, she was talking about a guy over China, somewhere over there, that was claiming to women would come to him with problems or whatever, or something to the, I don't know the whole story, but anyway, he was telling them that their hoo-ha was haunted and or possessed by a demon, and the only way to rid their private parts, I should say, was to have sex with him.
I think I saw her post that, and that was just probably the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to go to the fantastic World Wide Web, because then I'm going to have to look something up and find some kind of crazy story.
Right. But, yeah. So that's what's going on in the news. We'll find some clips on that kind of stuff. You know, it's just, we wing it a lot on here. That's the way it is. It's raw. That's the way we like it, because a lot of the shows out there, they're formatted, and they can put you to sleep. So why have
it
formatted?
It literally sucks the fun out of everything if it's all planned.
Yeah, you know, we like to make our guests feel comfortable, and we like to have fun, and, you know, we talk and do a lot of fun things. I'm trying to find something right now. Where is it? No, I can't find it. Anyway, but yeah, Jody's currently at the MUFON. If you don't know what MUFON is, it's involving UFOs. Because Jody and Megan and Phil, and who else? Who am I missing? Brittany. Y'all don't only do paranormal. Y'all look into, you know, UFOs as well.
Yeah, I mean, I really, to be honest with you, in my previous experiences as an investigator, I never really delved much into the whole UFO thing. I've always believed in them, and I've always been fascinated by them, but I never seen one until, like, last year. So that kind of changed my perspective, and I'm excited to learn more about UFOs and start doing some research and maybe find one day.
Yeah, you know, and like I told Jody, Jody's already jealous. November, I'm going on a Bigfoot hunt. A buddy of mine down here in Texas, Brandon Garrett, he has a Bigfoot team just north of the Houston, Texas area, and his whole family, his mom, dad, brothers, they're all on the Bigfoot team, and they got a place in one of the national forests around here that they go to, and they filmed the creature, and they've captured EVPs and whatnot, and so I hit him up, and I said, dude, I've done paranormal for years and years. I've never been on a Bigfoot hunt, so November, I'm getting to go on one.
That's awesome. I've never been on one either, and I have to admit that I'm a pretty big skeptic when it comes to Bigfoot, but I'm open-minded. Mm-hmm. I would totally do a Bigfoot hunt, because at the very least, who doesn't love to walk around the woods at night?
That's right. And like Brandon told me, you know, the things that they do is not too much far from what we do in the paranormal. I mean, pretty much the equipment we use in the paranormal, they use in their field of study. So I'm curious to see what will happen. I told Jody I'd capture Bigfoot and put him on a plane and send him to Jody.
Yes, and then we can cage him and keep him as a pet.
That's right.
I think that would be
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you're just now joining us, Mike of Coffin Cuties Magazine and a couple of his girls will be calling in here shortly, and we're going to talk about everything about the magazine and wherever else it may lead us. And speaking of, I think we have a caller here.
Coffin Cuties Magazine.
Hello.
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 Hello. Paranormal Outlaw.
Yes, sir.
Mike Hurst from Coffin Cuties Magazine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yes, sir.
Great. Well, we're calling in. Yeah,
I see them on hold. Let me go ahead and get them on air as well.
Okay. How you doing, Megan?
Hello.
Good.
Hello,
hello.
Mike.
Can people hear me?
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Sorry, I'm technologically challenged.
It happens.
Well, I'm Paranormal Outlaw, and with me normally is Jody Parks, but she's not with us. So Megan Campbell, that's also part of Jody's paranormal team, she's joining us. And, of course, some of you guys have met Megan at Parafest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's got another chainsaw.
Yeah. I rocked the Juliet Starling lollipop chainsaw, I'm not going to lie.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to meet you again.
Yeah, it's nice to see you, ladies. How's your past couple weeks been?
Very busy for myself.
I think everyone, really.
Yeah, nonstop working, trying to get things together.
Awesome. My car got T-boned.
That's not quite so funny, but...
No, but... I'm okay,
definitely.
So that's all that matters.
And put the
exactly.
dent in the week. Pun intended.
Yeah, we've all been running on nonstop moving and going back and forth for the past couple days, which has basically turned into a week and a half. But we've had some people moving, moving in, moving out.
Feng shui.
Yeah.
And we're all sick right now, too. So
yeah, so fun. I'm sorry about my voice. It sounds awful.
Oh, that's fine. So I'll start with Mike. Mike, since you're the one that does the photography and everything for the magazine,
yeah.
Talk about how you decided to come up with the Coffin Cuties magazine and, you know, how it developed and to where it is now.
Well, the truth is, I'm a lot older than I appear. The generations of movies and inspiration that I grew up with, I was a famous monsters kid. So anything in horror as a kid, I was glued to the TV, creature feature, ghost hosts, which is mostly here. As a kid, you wait for these things to come on night, and it was a prime time for me to watch a monster movie. Comic books, everything. Just, it all mixed in, and then music as well. So I've been into punk rock and heavy metal, horror music. So it's all mixed in with that. And then the directive was to support the Hammer horror films, Christopher Lee, Amber Pitt, Barbara Steele, all these women influenced me as a kid. Because horror and sexuality go hand in hand. So my inspiration to do photography and project that out, working with the girls that I know and making my own kind of fuel for that genre is basically where Coffin Cuties is at this present point.
Right. Is someone that's on the line, does someone listening to the show on their computer? Because I'm getting an echo on my end.
Well, we got three of us in the same room. Is that a possibility that could be doing it?
Probably.
I don't see where I'm at because my phone's plugged into the wall because I forgot to charge it.
Let's see. Do I sound better now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
I was getting a bit of an echo
probably
myself. I just felt that
with
my phone.
We have hardwood floors.
Because my phone sucks, so.
Yeah, it was kind of like an eerie echo, but it was cool. You know, kind of goes
that's
with the
okay,
show.
That's what happens.
It was very
that's what happens when you work in the horror field. You get this special and crazy attack of the phone vocals for no reason.
Yeah, myself, I am, even before I got into, you know, chasing ghosts, all my life I've been into the horror genre, you know, that's just something I like.
Yeah, that's where I hang my hat. I mean, from the slasher films to the classic black and whites to, you know, underground indie, just, it's been part of my life completely. It's what I search for. So, I also drive a hearse. My house looks like Martha Stewart and Vincent Price had a kid and didn't tell anybody about it. And, you know, so it's very interesting pulling up to an event or, you know, out with the girls in the hearse, and these models get out, and usually they're, you know, all geared up for horror and looking hot as hell, and people are like, what is
going
on?
It's very comfy, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
So, you know, we have a lot of fun.
I want to know, like, where the idea for the hearses came from, because I saw that roll up at Parafest, and I was like, holy hell, that is freaking awesome.
Well, my grandfather used to drive, well, I used to work on cars for 20 years, and before that, my family had been working on cars since the 40s. My grandfather drove a 59 hearse and a 63, and he used to take us out to the beach or, you know, out swimming in the summertime, pile us up in the hearse. Usually if someone didn't pay their bill back in those days, you kept the vehicle. So my grandfather over the years had a collection of different cars that people just couldn't afford to get them fixed, and he wound up owning them. So we always had some obscure vehicle. All my family have always had some obscure vehicle. There are five brothers, and they all worked on cars. So I got influenced to do it myself, and, of course, I'm going to get a hearse. I mean, what else would I drive? I mean, there's lots of monster cars out there from the 70s, but a hearse is way appropriate, and I customize everything myself. So it's got skull tailpipes, got a PA system in the grill, big chrome skull on the hood with the eyes light up red, purple underneath, blue inside for the lighting, and, you know, it gets me where I need to be, and point A to point B, and drives nice, so it's a Cadillac.
Pretty,
you can't complain.
It's pretty badass, I have to say.
Yeah, and don't forget the hot girls on the back.
Yeah, the most important part is the hot chicks on the back. How could you forget that?
Exactly.
Yeah, another campaign I do is I do a contest. So each girl who is a coffin cutie, it gives them a chance to get their image on the back of the vehicle, because we do promoting for coffin cuties while we're driving around. So it's great to have that image in the back window with a, you know, the website address, and people can contact us. I get a lot of hits just from driving around. People take pictures of us all the time, follow us, record us, get out of the car, and I have a limo tint, so they never know that there's a bunch of girls in the back or whoever might be in there. So it's pretty hilarious just driving down the street, the reaction that people give you just from driving around.
It's almost like a coffin limo.
Yes,
it is.
You need, a champagne chiller back there and, get the music rolling and then let the hot chicks roll out. And you got yourself a party.
Well, not only that. I mean, there's a bar in the back. There's a plasma TV in the back, and it only plays horror movies. It's very comfortable. It has everything you would need. I mean, it's a full limo, really, than just a hearse. People think hearse, but no, it's actually basically a limousine. So, at the same time. So, you know, I can use it for either or.
Right.
And pretty sick.
The girls that have joined us, I never got y'all's names. Who do we have?
Oh, my name's Annalise, the cat's meow. And I'm Elizabeth Voorhees.
All right.
I'm Elizabeth. Okay. Did you get that?
Yeah.
I think I got an echo again.
Uh-oh.
I'm bad with technology. I'm sorry, guys. I was, not born in the right time period. I cannot work technological devices.
You act like you're 80 years old and you're the youngest one in the group.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad.
So,
Paranoia Outlaw, we want to know how you got your name.
Well, it's my radio name, and,
okay.
I dig it.
I don't know. I just started calling myself the Paranormal Outlaw because of recent events here in the last several months. The drama that you undertake being in I was a founder of a paranormal team, and we had been together for about 4 years and done a lot of cases, and people kind of start getting jealous of the recognition that some teams get that others don't, so they start trying to tear you apart. And they succeeded in causing a lot of turmoil between myself and a lot of my teammates. So I had a lot of teammates leave because they didn't want to deal with the drama. And so they left me to deal with it. And so, you know, you find out who your true friends are when the shit gets bad. So
exactly. That's so true.
Amen.
Yeah, so
I agree with you on that.
We know all about drama.
Well, I shut the team down, and I own this network of all these different radio shows, and I was like, you know what, since everybody wanted to turn their back on me, you know, I kind of feel like I'm an outlaw in the paranormal, so
I'm
a paranormal outlaw.
That's awesome. I love it.
I love it.
That's right. So I'm kind of like Jesse James, but instead of six shooters, I got KT.
Awesome imagery right there.
Yeah, we were talking earlier. We were about to call you. And we heard somebody was knocking on the door, and I said, "Well, maybe he's coming here to do the interview." We pictured like this big horse with like flaming eyes and like fire coming out of his nose. No, pulling up to the house to do the interview.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, so whichever one of you ladies would like to go first, tell me a little bit about you and how you got involved in Coffin Cuties.
Anna, do you want to go first, or would you like me to go first?
Sure. Or you can go first.
You go first because you're so indecisive.
Okay, that's a good idea. I got involved in the Coffin Cuties. I was actually friends with Mike, and it instantly grabbed my attention because I love horror and sexy ladies. And I had a ball doing it. It didn't feel like work. It was just fun. And I'm actually pretty new to modeling, so I was just kind of getting my foot in the door, but I had so much fun doing it, and I'm looking forward to doing more stuff with the magazine and doing events and going to conventions and stuff. It's so much fun.
Nice. Next.
Okay. This is Elizabeth. I got involved with Coffin Cuties basically. I had to like them on Facebook, and then one day Mike had posted a post about what would you rather be, you know, Coffin Cutie, and, you know, what's, you know, better, horror or sci-fi, and of course I went for the horror. I mean, what girl wouldn't? You know, my life, you know, movie-wise is blood, guts, and gore. The gorier, the better. I love Chroma, everything like that. I grew up on Elvira, all that good stuff. So we literally booked a shoot maybe a week later, and now here we are getting ready to put out a second issue, and can't wait to do more shoots. I mean, some of the best shoots that I've done have been me covered in blood, and I've done quite a bit of modeling, nothing crazy, but I mean, the funnest shoots are always the goriest and the horror-related, where I can actually really get into something that I really, really love to do. And Mike's great at what he does, so that, you know, puts it hand-in-hand,
yeah,
and it makes a great combination, I think, so.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Before I got into paranormal, I was working for a haunted house up here, or I should say down here in Texas. And
nice.
Yeah, I helped build the haunt, and we actually built our own. We were building our own masks, and the whole nine yards. Yeah. Because I got a theater arts background. I got a BH or BH. a BA in theater arts, so I've always been into acting and all that stuff. So
that's awesome.
Got involved in the Haunted House, and I think the highlight was my last year there, I was the featured character in the haunt. And what was funny was, they couldn't figure out a mask for me, so I found this old beat up mask that they had, and it was kind of falling apart, and I ripped the latex and the foam a little bit here and there, and it kind of made it look like skin of somebody else's face, and then I covered myself in blood, and yeah, I ended up being kind of like a knockoff of what's his name on Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Leatherface.
Yeah. So I was kind of a knockoff, like I was his cousin or something. But we did a film. We had a professional film crew come in to do a shoot. They always do a little shoot to make a video that we can put on the internet, and we also play outside where the people are in line. And I got to chop a guy's head off. And I got to chop his head off, but at one point on one take they had the camera pointed at me while I was chopping his head off, and they wanted a big ass blood spurt, you know, spraying everywhere. So they had thinned the fake blood, you know, almost kind of like water consistency, so it wasn't so thick so it would spray. And they had it in a bucket, and they had a water pump and a little hose, and they had it aimed at me, and I had to, you know, come down with a chainsaw and act like I was cutting a guy's head off. And boy, he fired that thing up, and that shit went straight into my mask and hit me straight in the eyes. And there was blood everywhere. But you can't tell in the video it hit me, you know, that it was affecting me. I continued doing it with my fucking eyes all fucked up with blood. But
it does burn a little bit.
Yeah,
that made blood tricky.
Definitely hard to get off sometimes.
I remember trying to wash some off my face before work, and I'm like, this is going to be hard to explain.
Well, I got it the worst.
I think I had some speckles still in my hair.
There's a couple times where I've left the studio in the hearse after cleaning up, after the girls got a shower, they got cleaned up. I had to clean up all that stuff, whether it be a bloody mattress or whatever I had shot with that night. I'd get the studio back to par and then go home. And sometimes it's not until, like, you know, 12 or 3 in the morning, and I'll stop into 7-Eleven, you know, get something to eat real quick or something to drink, and there'll be cops in there having donuts and coffee, and I'm going to have blood everywhere, leather jacket, when I pull up in a hearse. And these guys just look at me, sometimes like, what the hell has this guy been doing? Should we lock him up or should we just leave him alone? I don't know what to think. And some of the people who know what I do, you know, because I go in there frequently, you know, they'll have an idea, but most of the time when people see a guy pull up in a hearse, they don't expect them to see him get out looking like, you know, a leather jacket, sunglasses on, blood all over him. And then who knows, I might be moving something inside props at my house at night, like coffins or whatever. And so I get some strange looks sometimes, but it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So when you're getting ready to do a shoot, Mike, do you already pre-have what you're looking for in that shot, you know, whatever you're going to set up, and the model comes in and you do the shoot, or do they have any input, or how does that work?
It depends. There's some cases where I have set stuff up to come off a theme and execute it when we meet, because some of the models I work with don't live anywhere near me. They come from out of town or whatever. It can work that way, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there's things you got to go in the wind, just like, what am I going to do? So I always have things on site. Like, I'll have a variety of different weapons or a chair, or I'll make a set real quick out of the stuff that I have, whether it be with the coffins or different masks or body parts or whatever it might be. But sometimes it is on a whim, and sometimes the ones that are on a whim are the best shoots that you'll ever do, because all of a sudden you start getting this crazy material that you had no idea, and you just realize, from here, I can go there. So once you get to a certain point, once you start shooting, you can escalate it. And once you take it to that final level, usually in the end, I'm the happiest. I'm getting more satisfied because the girls are usually all covered in blood. They got the sexiest outfits that they've had, that they've been waiting to put on. And you just start laughing and have a lot of fun at the end of it because it just gets messy. So that's my favorite highlight of it is when you do a whim and you come up with something brilliant and genius at the end and you had no idea you were going to get it. So it can work like that, too.
Cool. Hang on a second. Megan?
Sure.
Megan, take over for me.
You're fine, Kevin. What the hell? What are you people doing?
I gotta ask you girls.
I'm crashing your freaking party.
is that Jody?
This is Jody.
I was like, where is that voice coming from? I know, I was really confused.
Another voice, got
hi. Hi, everyone. Who do we have here?
I thought it was a paranormal voice.
Mike Hurst, Coughing Cuties.
Elizabeth Voorhees.
And Annalise the Cat's Meow.
Nice. Well, my MUFON meetings got moved again to Wednesday night, back to Wednesday night at a different location, and they didn't freaking tell me.
Damn.
I went, I sat, I left.
We're glad you could make it.
What?
We're glad you could make it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've missed out on everything, so I'm clueless. I don't want to make y'all go through it again, but I know that Megan met, I don't know who.
I met Mike, and I think I met these two ladies.
Yes, you did.
We've all met.
You met Megan?
Yes,
yep.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work with Megan.
Yes, we did.
What's that?
I'm looking forward to working with her.
Yeah, I'm hearing all of this, I am totally getting a girl boner right now because I can't wait to do one of these two.
That's
the macabre boner.
Girl boner.
A girl boner. Hell yeah.
I want to see what that looks like.
You have seen what it
curious.
Looks like.
It's not as bad as the awkward boner.
Large.
Oh, shoot.
That's great.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, like, hearing about you guys, like, you know, the way you do your shoots and just covered in blood. Like, I've been looking
everywhere for a photographer.
Yeah, I've been looking everywhere for a photographer. And I'm on this website called Model Mayhem. You guys probably know of it, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get all these contacts. Yeah, I get all these contacts for shoots, and they're like, oh, what do you want to shoot? I'm like, I want to be fucking covered in blood with, like, weapons and
yes.
shit. Like,
yes, my kind of lady.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have a photographer and people to work with that are, you know, just as into it as I am.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm very excited to have people that are into it do it because anybody could, you know, just come in and get covered with blood. But when you're really passionate about horror and it's, like, you know, part of your life.
Definitely.
It just makes it that much better, and it shows in the shoot, too. Like, you can look at a girl and be like, okay, you know, she's hot, she's covered in blood, but, you know, and then you can look at another girl and be like, oh, wow, she's hot, she's covered in blood, and she's really into it. So you can definitely tell.
Oh, I definitely agree.
So we're excited.
Yeah, these girls live this lifestyle.
Excited.
I mean, outside of shooting, most of these girls are performing and, you know, have their own thing going on besides just doing a photo shoot. You see them on the street, they're not that far off from the character you saw when they were at a con or in a photo shoot where they're carrying a fake chainsaw. You know, it can be very provocative because when these guys meet these girls in real life, it's like, wow, it's a big thrill. And, you know, some of these girls aren't top-notch models that are working in, you know, these big-name magazines. But they're just as good, or in my case, I believe sometimes even better. because they become your best friends. So there's a lot of love in this field too. There's a lot of people who really enjoy it and live it. I'm from Baltimore City. I've lived all over, but I'm from Baltimore, and I live in Baltimore right now.
Same here. I'm from Baltimore and live in Baltimore.
I am a Baltimore transplant.
Don Waters.
Yes, love Don Waters.
Oh, yeah.
So when did you guys start your magazine?
Let's see. It's been a year since we gone into the production. Originally, it was a two-sided magazine. When we did a Kickstarter, I had a partner. He did a sci-fi twist on the other side of the magazine. So you got two for one. You got horror and you had sci-fi pinup. And then in the middle, we would meet. Horror would kick sci-fi's ass, well, at least in my opinion. But
hell yeah,
we'd have a battle, grand royals, between the two groups, between the sci-fi girls and the horror. So be all decked out in a big battle. That was the idea. But also at the same time, we both knew we both had a big vision of what we both wanted to do. So eventually the magazine was going to separate, be a single format magazine. Sci-fi was going that way. I was going my way. It was more or less a really good idea. You'll never see this magazine again. The pressing that we did with this one, it's completely limited, very collectible. And the next issue will be a single format magazine with a completely different format. And so that's what's going to make life good.
Nice.
Plus, lots
so
of surprises we have coming.
Do you guys have any, like, really cool stuff that you're doing in the future?
Yeah, we got a lot of things that we're planning right now. Dissolving the partnership I had recently, just happened within the past few weeks. It's only been about a month and a half. So a new future for Coffin Cooties was reborn into a new format and adventures and ideas that are now going forward into production as we speak. So there's lots of little surprises you're going to be seeing coming from us in the next couple months, so you want to watch.
Nice. I'm looking at your Facebook right now.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you guys do any film as well?
We've done stuff with Mad Monster TV, which is in Virginia. Jerry Moore. We've been on that show. We've done some stuff for YouTube that we've done our own little skits and stuff for. I'm looking to do. I have one thing that's going to be available on our website is there will be content of the video shoots behind the scenes. So you'll be able to see the blood, the actual moving and what's going on, opposed to just that one-dimension picture that you would see on Facebook or in the magazine format. You'll actually be able to see some video of these girls in action during the photo shoot. So that's one thing I'll be bringing is there will be clips available for subscriptions on the website. So that's coming soon, too.
That's
awesome.
You can
find us at coffincuties.com as well as on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We work a lot of other. What's that?
Oh, I was just going to say, what I really like about y'all is it's something, you know, completely different from the norm, right? It's beautiful women, you know, in a horror type setting, and you don't see a lot of that. You know, you might get glimpses of it here and there, but not like this. And so that's what I find intriguing about y'all. I really like what y'all do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're trying to,
trying
to keep it concentrated to not turning into something hokey or changing the roots of what the magazine and what these girls are really into and what I envision with my vision through the photography. I'm really not trying to change that at all, this new format, although I am opening the flood doors to allow other people in. Before I was kind of like, well, maybe I should do this all myself. But now I want to change the format. I want to have – there's other artists that have been approaching me, not just for photography and stuff like that, but I have artists that friends of mine who do sick work. You know, they do graphics and, you know, they do a lot of big-time stuff these days. And they're like, well, Mike, well, how come you don't have us participate? How come there's not something designated for that? For, you know, so I'm changing that now. There will be interviews and artwork and ads. All that's going to be coming in the way for the future for Call from Cutie, so we can get more people out there like you guys who are contacting us to have you in the magazine. You know, if you want to get ad space and you want to advertise, we can get you on the website. We can get you in the magazine. All these options will be there just like a regular magazine now. So that's our goal.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Megan, you and Jody are kind of quiet. You're the rowdy girls.
I'm looking through these photos and I'm just like, damn, these chicks are hot. Thank you. Like these pictures are just like mind-blowingly amazing. They're full of gore and blood and awesome.
Girl boner amazingness.
Oh hell yeah, total girl boner.
Yay.
It's funny, there's a big following of women for this. A lot of people, oh, it's guys this, guys that. You got to cater to the men. The men want to see this. The men want to see that. I completely disagree with that statistic. I don't care if it's through Facebook or wherever it might be. I totally believe that the girls like watching more and keep track more of it than the dudes do. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that, too. And I think the cool thing about, you know, shooting a horror photo shoot, I guess, is, I mean, like you said, it allows these girls to kind of take on that persona and let something out that they might normally not let out. And that I think the same thing goes for the viewers, too, or, you know, the audience, is that they're kind of getting this, like, feed off of it. I love that. It's awesome. You get to indulge in something that you normally don't get to see or do.
Yeah,
I agree.
It definitely adds a fun element to it as well. It's one of the reasons I know I'm attracted to doing things like that. So,
yeah, I know when I was a kid and I came across, usually you didn't see it in the American versions of Monster magazines. They tried to censor it a bit, not to knack on Ackerman with Famous Monsters, because really I wouldn't be even doing this if it wasn't for him. But I really believe a lot of the European underground horror magazines that had some of that exposure with the somewhat nudity that they were doing at the time with the women with the, you know, wonderful bodies and the breasts slightly out, maybe a little nipple here and there. You didn't see everything. But the fact that this drop-dead gorgeous woman that you would never have a chance in hell seeing ever anywhere is doing a horror film with vampires and blood and looking very sexy at the same time, it's a very confused feeling. Like, you know, you don't know what to feel, but you're fascinated with it. And I still, till today, I mean, there's not a time when any of those films come on or any of those images come about where I'm just completely intrigued and have to look, have to see it, even till today. So I'm a strong believer in the mix of the two, of the sexuality and the horror. I believe that it just works. And I don't think you would have a movie without either or.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Hell no.
I agree with that, definitely.
Oh, yeah. You know, every good horror movie has hot chicks in it. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And the obligatory boob shot.
Oh, yeah.
It's the TNA. That's the TNA in the movies.
Yeah.
The ones I hate, though, are the stupid hot chicks. It's the kicking-ass hot chicks that are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
like
the stupid ones,
like
when they're
now
dying, then you don't feel bad for them.
Yeah, you're like,
you
die, you stupid bitch.
If you fall down, get back up. Don't just stand there. Don't just lay there screaming, you know?
Or if you stab someone, don't leave the knife inside of them and then run away.
Just keep
because
stabbing.
Because they're always going to come back, and they're going to have the knife.
Yeah, cut his motherfucking head off. Make sure he's dead.
Yes, decapitation.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the slasher films because of that. Because not because one person died or there was the hero or this person or that person, everyone died equally. I didn't care if you were stupid, dumb, good-looking, yeah, a lawyer, whatever. Everyone gets to die, and that's usually the ones I like the most. Where in the end, the actual horror character is the hero. And those movies in the 80s, the slasher films really just, it made it great. Like Maniac, Friday the 13th, they just, Evil Dead. These type of movies, you couldn't get enough of them. There had to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Phantasm, all these movies. The Tall Man, he was my hero. I didn't root for the kid. I wanted the Tall Man to come back to life. No, don't kill the Tall Man. I didn't want the guys to die. I would get upset. Godzilla would die in the movie. I would cry.
I was always rooting for the villain.
The monster died. Why did the monster die?
That's a true horror fan. When you root for the killer, you're a true horror fan.
Yes?
Jody, if you were in one of them slasher films, you'd be the only girl not take off running. You turn around and kick Jason's ass.
I grab him by the fucking balls.
That's awesome.
And I'd twist and pull.
Right on.
If I ever did any type of, I'm not really into the blood stuff or anything like that. I've never done anything like that. But if I were to do something like that, I would want to have blood being like poured on me. I think that would be
like Carrie style.
Almost like recreating Flashdance. Like have a appearing, like lean back arch and just like have freaking poured on you. That'd be hot.
The other thing I've always wanted to do is like a sacrifice a virgin shoot. I think that would be so awesome.
I'll be your virgin.
I can roll with that.
Rock,
I would totally shoot that.
I would totally shoot that as well. That's a great idea.
Like a virgin?
Now, where to find a virgin?
That's why it's called acting.
And how can you prove
acting.
It?
Good point.
Well, no one tells the truth anymore anyway, right?
Yeah.
I'm only 25.
So, you guys go to a lot of these conventions. However, I know y'all were at Parafest a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Did y'all enjoy Parafest?
Oh, Parafest.
Oh, my gosh.
I had so much fun.
It was really fun. The weekend flew by.
What was that, Mike?
I think for the first year, I think you did a pretty good job. It was a little,
they really
I
did.
Think the first day was a little disorganized, but I think by the second day on Saturday, they had got everybody where they needed to be and straightened out some of the clutter. But otherwise, it was a big party. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I heard it was a great time.
Yeah.
It was. It was a freaking blast. That's all I'm going to say.
She remembers.
I do remember vaguely.
Bits and pieces.
was left in the morning. Bits and pieces.
Yeah, the Matt and Dennis from Full Spectrum Radio were there as well, broadcasting. You want to see how exciting and fun it was for Matt. Here is what Matt and Dennis call an EVP that they caught in their hotel room. Saturday night about 3 o'clock in the morning. Here it is.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
That's hilarious. That's funny. I was all scared for a minute.
Yeah, Matt had a lot of spirits. I had a lot of spirits that night, you could say.
Matt said to say hi to everybody.
Oh, hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
And Dennis as well, if you're
listening. Yes, and Dennis.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of doing a little small mini interview with them, so that was very nice.
Nice. They're good guys.
So since we're kind of talking about the magazine, we're also talking about horror. Girls, what are your favorite horror movies?
Oh, my goodness. I kind of grew up watching a lot of Vincent Price movies with my mom. So Vincent Price, pretty much in almost anything, kind of gets me. Just a lot of memories there. But I am a huge Friday the 13th fan, if you couldn't tell by my modeling name, Voorhees, of course. just movies like Mike was saying earlier, like slasher films, things like that. I also do dig a ton of trauma, but overall I would have to say my favorite horror movie has to be The Exorcist.
I agree.
Good choice.
Yeah,
The
Exorcist is awesome.
You know,
I probably...
I live in St. Louis. And being a ghost hunter, I always go to the church that took care of that exorcism.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
when I'm
so
just,
cool.
Like, you know, I get my holy water from there and stuff, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
My friends and I used to always go to the Exorcist steps in D.C., hang out after, you know, because there's a gas station next to it, but we would go there after a night of clubbing or whatever, and the steps are, if you haven't seen them before, I mean, they are immense. I mean, the movie, I mean, if you've seen the movie, you've seen the steps, but they are crazy, crazy, crazy tall. So trying to run up and down those a couple times at like 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe not the greatest idea, but still a lot of fun.
Ghosts and, like, possessions and stuff scare me so much. Like, those kind of movies I take really seriously. I'm a big serial killer fan.
Yeah.
I, like, religiously watch House of Thousand Corpses before bed every night. That's, like, I like that movie because it's really laid back and, like, happy. but I love the classics, too. I'm a really big Freddy fan, but the third one, Dream Wars, is, like, probably my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, I love all horror movies. I have two brothers, so they really got me into the horror genre. But there's certain movies I'm even scared to watch before I go to bed.
So, would you ever...
My favorite horror movie was in the first Freddy Krueger when... I can't remember who it was, the guy or the girl laying in the bed. And, like, the claws were, like, coming through the ceiling above his head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. I'll never
That's
forget the first
scene.
Time I watched that. I was like, oh, my God!
Yeah, Carpenter rules. Any of his movies.
Yeah, I drove by that house. I went to L.A. and I went on, like, a Hollywood horror tour, and they, like, drove you around to creepy places, and they drove past the house that they filmed that at.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
Well, I belong to the Poe Society here, and I work with the, you know, the Edgar Allan Poe house is here, and he's also buried here in Baltimore. They're reopening the house. It's been shut down because the city stopped the funding to it about 2 years ago. It went into limbo, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. But they have somebody here to come in, and it's a privatized company, and it's going to be opening up on October 5th again to the public. So that's good news for us. I've worked with John Astin from Gomez from Adams Family and Mark Redfield, who's also a local actor, at the Westminster Grounds to support and keep this place open during the time that the city stopped the funding. And it was a lot of work with these guys to come down and try to make the city aware of how important it is and who Edgar Allan Poe really is. You know, they were going to fund all the sports museums and keep all these things funded and open, but shut down Edgar Allan Poe's house. And stop awareness to who this man was, and he's a big part of Baltimore and why a lot of people even recognize us. So it was really it was kind of a political thing. I actually did a parade. There was a mayor's parade that year, and we did a Poe theme where we took big banners to save the Poe house on the side of the hearse. I had two of the girls dressed up like Virginia and his aunt, and my friend Mark, who also Sanders, also dresses as Poe and acts as Poe, was leading the parade in front of the hearse while we had Vincent Price playing through the PA system, reading Edgar Allan Poe. So it was a lot of fun. And I also had a 6-foot raven on top of the hearse. So
awesome.
That's some of the stuff we do outside of just the magazine.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Megan, what's your favorite horror movie?
You know, I've been thinking about it this whole time, and I can't decide. I'm also a huge Exorcist fan. That movie scared the absolute shit out of me as a kid.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, the other one I loved was, and this is so cheesy, but I loved 13 Ghosts. Just because it was so fucked up and weird. And then, you got the bloody naked chick. I was like, okay, this movie's kind of awesome.
Jabberwocky and the beauty queen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had the jackal with his head in the cage. That guy freaked me out.
Right.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Well, mine of all time, I'm a huge Halloween fan. Michael Myers is like my hero. growing up, when I was in my early teens, instead of taking my brother trick-or-treating, I would dress up as Michael Myers, and I would hide throughout the neighborhood, and I would scare as many trick-or-treaters as I could. And I enjoyed the hell out of that. I was a little teenage, but boy, I had fun doing it. And, yeah, I got the whole get up as far as costume, the jumpsuit and everything. And what's funny is one year when I was teaching high school, I was a theater arts teacher, and it was Halloween time, and I wanted to play a prank on every class that came in my room. And I had the old band hall, so I had a huge room. And I got in there early. I set up a coffin. I had a little scene like it, you know, looked like the interior of a house. I had a smoke machine, a strobe light, and I was operating a smoke machine within the coffin, and I was playing Michael Myers theme music. And I started it all up, and I climbed in the coffin when the bell rang when the next class was coming in. And they would come in and they're like, what in the hell's going on in here? Where's the coach at? And I would come flying out of that coffin as Michael Myers, and boy, they about shit themselves. They scattered like roaches.
That's funny.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love Michael Myers. He's one of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
For the masked characters, he's one of my favorites, definitely.
Yeah.
And,
it's decisive. It's hard.
It is super hard to pick a favorite horror film.
Yeah.
I couldn't name just one.
I can't even pick what I want for dinner, let alone my favorite horror film.
Yeah. They're just ones that are better than others.
Any of you ever had any kind of paranormal experience? Have you gone into a haunted location or any of that, or does that scare the hell out of you to go into a truly haunted place?
When I was in high school, many, many years ago, my friends and I, and we're not supposed to do this, but we used to sneak into Glendale, which was an old tuberculosis hospital and a sanatorium. And that place was definitely, definitely very creepy. I mean, you just walk up to the main buildings and you feel like you have 1,000 eyes watching you. You just get that skin-crawling kind of feeling. And it's definitely a place I would definitely want to go back and do more investigating kind of things like that. I've never actually gotten to go
quote unquote ghost hunting before, but it's always been something I've wanted to do. I've been fascinated by ghosts and spirits and things like that since I was little. I did a photo shoot one day, and actually it was at my house, and I had two candlesticks, and, you know, one of them was broken, the other one wasn't. I heard a weird noise, so I went to go check it out. Well, one of the candles had flown out of the candlestick and was probably about 5 to 6 feet away from where the table was. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's the broken one, maybe something, you know, happened. No, it was the one that was not broken, and you could clearly see where it was pressed into the candlestick.
That's crazy.
So, I have no explanation as to how that happened, but it was a little creepy.
I'm a firm believer. I mean, I grew up in, like, old houses, and I've had lots of creepy, weird stuff happen, like stoves turning on low and footsteps. And my brother, who plays musical instruments, when he wasn't home, I would hear the instruments playing, and then I'd go up to his door, and as soon as I'd open it, they would stop. And my mom, who doesn't even like to talk about ghosts, even admitted that, too. I definitely believe in them, but I'm, like, honestly terrified of them at the same time. But it's, like, I want to, like, investigate more and learn more. I'm just scared.
We should do a colliding of Coffin Hotties and Paranormal Hot Squad. That would be freaking interesting at a haunted location.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
That would
be awesome.
We love that.
We could incorporate a photo shoot as well as a ghost hunt, like, and film it, you know?
Yeah.
That would be fucking fun.
Yeah, the girls
would be
pretty
genius,
blood,
actually.
A ghost hunt? That'd be great.
We could do it all bloody.
I think the girls would go for that, too. That's the funny
one. I'm totally down. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That would be
well,
so much fun.
You guys are in good contact with Megan, so... you know, talk to her about it. And, you know, we know a lot of locations. And if there's, like, something specific that you guys are looking for, we might be able to, you know, figure out.
You guys are located in Texas, right?
No. Megan lives in Iowa.
Iowa.
Okay. And didn't I say Iowa?
Yep.
Okay. And I live in St. Louis, and our other girl lives in Florida. You guys met Sarah. And then our camera guy, he lives in Texas, but we travel.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Baltimore is a pretty old and very old city. It has a lot of creepy elements, a lot of things that people really, unless you come here and see it or, you know, can be involved in it, you wouldn't understand until you knew the history or got to see it personally. And it's a, you know, it's Baltimore. I mean, we're ancient. So there's a lot of haunting type atmospheres here. And when we're talking about experiences, I could just say, which one do you want to hear about? Because I have too many that you know, I could write a book on it. You know, one time, just personally, as like a haunting type experience, we played the Ouija board here a lot. I have four of them in my house right now. I have my original...
Nice.
Grandmother's Ouija board. My grandmother, if anybody knows the true history of the Ouija board as we know it, not the witch board, but the Ouija board, William Freud is from Baltimore. The Ouija board was made here in Baltimore, manufactured until Parker Brothers took it over, and I think it was either the 60s, I believe, or completely anyway. My great-grandmother grew up next door to William Freud and used to play. Great-grandmother used to play with him as a kid. And then he grew up to do that, the guy to make the Ouija board. So I had one of the original Ouija boards from him, from my great-grandmother, and she had stories with it when she told me about it. But I used it one night on New Year's Eve with my cousin and my sister, and we were, you know, had the lights out, and, you know, just about for the ball to go down, and we were asking this Ouija board stuff and burning candles. When we answered a couple questions, the lights the candles would flicker, nothing too major. During the last question, we heard this, I don't know what it was. It sounded like someone was trying to kick in the front door. And my cousin, he's a punk rock guy, and I was younger, I was a little punk rocker, and he was a big punk rocker. I'm like, go outside and see what the hell that was. You know, he's like 6 foot tall, he's got gladiator boots on. I'm like, go get him, man. And he was up the door, and he's like, Mikey, get out of here. around the porch, and it's wintertime, because it's almost January, but it's snowing red ambers. It was insane. I mean, the entire area, just like, for, you know, this entire, you know, my entire block, down the street, everywhere was, like, glowing red and red ambers coming out of the sky. The lumber company had exploded down the street, and this place was massive. And it just had a chemical, I don't know, we don't know what, because a lot of, you know, a lot of chemicals to do to treat the wood, just blew up. And this thing was like over a block long, and there's this massive mushroom in the sky, and just red ambers, everything was lit up. This is why we were doing the Ouija board at the house. So that's one of the experiences, but I could go on about a whole bunch more.
Wow.
Very cool. So do you have, like, a specific location that
in Baltimore?
Would allow, like, a filming and an investigation and a photo shoot?
I could definitely look into it. Even if
yeah.
we were to do the Westminster Hall. See, Westminster Hall, I don't know if you know it, where Poe is buried, it's a catacombs. So what happened was the original graveyard was on Falls Road in the 1700s, early 1700s. What would happen is the falls would swell up, and they didn't bury people too deep back then. They may put you like a foot, 2 feet under where the dirt was just right there. The water would take the caskets or the wooden boxes, really, up and float them down river, and it'd be, you know, epidemic. So they moved the graveyard to downtown on Green Street, and then after a while, they built a church on top of it. So they had catacombs. They had built on top of where the bodies were, and they were all big mausoleums anyway. And then they put catacombs in the basement of the church. So you have big mausoleums that are ancient on the outside, right by the University of Maryland, where they used to actually send grave robbers to take the bodies out of the graveyard for medical science, because it was illegal to do that back then. There's
right.
many, many stories and many, many activities going on in this graveyard and this catacombs. It's legendary.
Awesome.
And, of course,
if you guys would want to travel, if you guys would want to travel, I know of an awesome funeral home in Ohio that is super haunted, and it's just, like, beautiful. It would be perfect for a photo shoot.
Oh,
cool. Nice.
Is it empty or is it in use?
What's
Hello?
That?
Is it empty or is it in use?
I believe it's empty, actually. Someone did send me some info on it, so let me go look at it really quick here. I know they use it to shoot a lot of music videos because it's just so creepy looking.
Oh, very cool.
It is a, okay, it's called House of Wills. Funeral home established in 1904 as G and Wills, was in 1995 one of the oldest and most successful black businesses in Cleveland. Largest black funeral home in the state.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it is just amazing. And, I mean, it has these, like, huge, gorgeous curtains. It's so cool looking.
Wow.
Sounds
yeah,
like
I
can.
I'm going to do a photo shoot now.
Yeah, definitely.
I know.
I'm getting inspired.
Me too. Well,
you got those big curtains, and I'm happy.
you get to see Megan and Jody and her crew. They get crazy when they paranormal investigate. They're fun.
Yeah, we kind of might scare you guys. Yeah, Jody likes to time. Actually, I like to have Jody tie up and leave me alone in places.
Mhm. Oh, nice.
We like
you're braver than me.
We like to
that's like
each
my
other.
Purpose.
Yep, we do. And we provoke really hard. We do.
I would have to use the buddy system. I'd be scared to be by myself.
Well, we can put a diaper on you.
That's probably a good idea.
I'll hold your hand, Anna.
You're going to need to, Liz. You're going to need to.
Have you guys ever heard of the what they call the spirit box, the ghost box?
No.
I believe so.
I'm deprived.
I'll give you a little background just a little bit because I'm sure Jody wants to share this with you. I got a piece of evidence on our studio board that we always play.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghost Box is basically like a radio. Jody had what you call a Hack Shack, which is basically a portable little radio that you can buy at Radio Shack, and you do a little adjustment to the scanning system on it, and it'll scan the radio stations without stopping. It just scans through all the frequencies. And when you use it in a paranormal investigation, you start asking questions, and a lot of times you'll get responses through the radio. And, you know, when they start cussing you and saying, fuck you, and this, that, and other, you know it's not coming through a radio station. So,
yeah, definitely. Oh, my gosh.
Jody, where were you again when you got this script?
So I had this ghost box for like a year, and I didn't really believe in ghost boxes. You know, it just never did anything. But I was doing this event at Rhodes Hall in Atlanta, and I thought, okay, I'll just take it and, you know, play with it just for entertainment. And I don't know, it was like a weird feeling. I was down in the basement all night, and then just like I felt like something came into the room. And, you know, when you're a ghost hunter, you can start – the more you ghost hunt, the more you pay attention to your gut feeling and your environment and just the electromagnetic field around you. And so when you feel that change, you kind of know something is there. And so I felt something come in, and I knew that it did not like these two men in the room. I just got this gut feeling, and I said, guys, start provoking. So they started provoking, and this is what I got.
All right.
Okay. Do the other men here bother you?
We will skin you alive.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
We will skin you alive. That whole room was like crapping their pants.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just got goosebumps up and down my entire body, and my eyeballs are watering. That is terrifying.
You know, and that has been played it has been played all over radio stations, and everybody has tried to debunk that thing. And
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
We're vampires. We are true vampires.
Hey, on.
We're immortal.
Yeah, Jody had a lot of experiences with that ghost box when her and Megan and the rest of the girls went to Farrar.
Yes,
oh,
we did.
Yeah, we did. Jody got it to say blowjob.
It asked me for a blowjob.
Yep, it did.
And then
it
kept talking about eating and calling me a cunt. And I said, throw me on the fucking desk and eat my fucking pussy. And it said, like, real robotic. It goes, it would be beyond anything I could imagine.
Oh, my God.
Right.
That is so funny. That's awesome.
Oh, we've gotten hilarious shit. We did another place here in Iowa called Edinburgh Manor, which is an old poor farm, insane asylum, and home for the mentally disabled. And there we actually confirmed via ghost box that ghosts do fart.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Oh, I'm laughing. I'm coughing so hard.
It's a coughing cutie.
Yeah, you do. Thanks, it's all your fault.
Oh,
okay, now. We need to play the other EVPs that we have of Kevin's professionalism. How Texas style rolls.
Okay, just before I do this, Matt wanted me to announce something. He said to let everyone know, including Megan, that Mark loved that shirt everyone signed, and thank you so much. He cried a little for the thought.
That's awesome.
Let me find this clip now. Let's see.
I'm still playing the other one in my head. Like, that was scary. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's scary cool.
I'm going to hide outside of your bedroom door one night and just say that.
We will skin you alive.
That's all for you to hang out in a room and say it's scary cool.
This was my team back when I had a team. We were investigating a location, and this is what we caught here.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in the background.
Oh,
and
my
God. I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, you just shit
yourself."
Now,
was this him or was this a ghost?
No, that was all Texas farting right there.
This one's gonna give me more nightmares than the other one. That's awesome.
We get a little wild. We're a wild bunch.
We are a wild bunch for sure.
We like. I love it.
We like wild.
Some of you guys throw all the dirty ghosts your direction.
Yeah,
the
dirty ghosts,
the Beetlejuices.
Exactly. We're searching for some cold penis.
Some ghost babies.
Up in this mug.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Who was it? Oh, Anna Nicole used to claim that she had sex with ghosts.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, very interesting topic. It is.
The ghostest with the mostest.
Did she was she saying she consented it, or it was, did she get, did she want to have sex with the ghost?
You know what? I mean, her personally, she was on so many freaking drugs.
Yeah, it could have been a real person.
Or it could have been like, here she is, she's, you know, laying in bed and she's freaking horny, so she's just like in her head, you know, like getting her freaking cell phone.
The sexiest ghost
licking
ever.
The sexiest ghost named Percocet.
Oh, no.
I just walked back into the conversation. I was screening a phone call. It's Matt. His tablet went down, so he's just calling in to listen. So he's over there on hold. Just listening.
Oh, well, put him on. Let him in.
All right. Matt.
Oh, am I in with the craziest?
Hey, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Go on, hello, everybody. Yeah, no, I do apologize that I wasn't going to interrupt the show, but personally do want to say thank you for the signatures and all the heartfelt, you know, meaning behind it. I just gave the shirt to Mark 2 days ago, and he was beside himself on how awesome everybody is to actually take the time out and do that. And it means a lot to me that you guys took the time out and do that. So thank you from the bottom of my heart to everybody. I definitely appreciate it.
Well, thank you for asking us to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Well, welcome to the craziness.
Yeah,
we're
talking
just talking
about
cold penis.
Sex with
ghosts. I think was the last topic.
Jody, were you talking about cold penis while I was on hold?
I'm not even
know. Yeah, penis. It's never off my mind.
Hey, so what did everybody think about the EVP that I caught in the room with Dennis in our hotel room that I heard was played again
was
tonight? Yeah,
I think that is the craziest thing I have ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah,
I know,
scariest
right?
thing in the universe.
Well, this is the thing that I tried to point out to Dennis and Matt, because I did the show on Sunday. They were still Pearfest, and so we were broadcasting live. So Dennis sent me those from his phone, and I converted them, and we played them live on the air from the night before. And I kind of had to point out to Dennis and Matt that, you know, Matt's sitting there talking to, trying to make out that he was talking about lotion or something. Now, what are two dudes doing in a hotel room talking about lotion?
This one's a lot softer.
Sounds like a salty conversation.
Yeah. Kevin, you presented a good argument on that one.
What?
That's like Kevin, you
presented.
Lubriderm. Yeah, I was gonna go Lubriderm. No, Kevin.
I thought it might have been jerkins.
Uh-oh.
It's
no,
whatever the hotel supplied. It was, you know, it was a Costco brand refilled in a little tiny tube. But
this just got bad.
Matt, you're never gonna live that down. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm good with that.
As long as you're good with it.
Well, go ahead, go.
Oh, I was just gonna say, you know, unlike other people I know, Jody, who can get away doing things and not get captured acting a fool. Because I heard you were pretty crazy this weekend.
Who'd you hear that from?
Oh, I don't know. You're always crazy, Joey. You're always crazy, Jody. I'm sure you did something.
I know I am, but, you know, I did get a little fucking wild because I got drunk, and, you know, it was actually Phil who was out of control, and I had to sober up to take care of him. But
you had to finish his drinks, right?
My camera guy. So he's like, at one point him and I were sitting in a chair together, and all of a sudden he just reached in my shirt and started squeezing my left boob. And I looked at him and said, "Hey, Phil, you're like squeezing my tit." And he's like, "I know." And I was like, "All right,
I know."
And then, like, we went outside and smoked a cigarette, and he came up from behind me and literally grabbed my ass, but didn't grab like a cheek. He grabbed in the crack, really hard. I was
reached
like,
in there.
Jesus Christ. Phil was on a roll. So we took him to Denny's to, you know, get some food in his belly, and he ended up in the bathroom, like, totally losing all his cookies, which I bought all the alcohol, pretty much. And
it was
so
expensive, too.
Yeah, and I spent $80 on alcohol, but
me too.
It went in the toilet. So note to self, don't get Phil drunk because it'll end up, or me personally, I will not pay for him to drink ever again. So I, you know, after Denny's, I think I'm doing right by him, and I drop him off at the hotel, and I think, oh, he's going to go up to his room. I went back to my hotel, and I go to bed, and I wake up in the morning, and he sends me a picture, and he goes, "When the hell did this picture happen?" And I said, "I don't know. It didn't happen with me." And he goes, "I think I ended up partying more after you dropped me off, and I woke up naked and didn't know how the hell I got in my room."
Oh, my God.
It was a ghost.
Sarah's convinced that all these events are for basically us all to get together to get wasted.
Usually that's some of the case.
Well, I've been doing events for a while, and I've only got drunk at two of them. I hide in my hotel room so that nobody talks about me. You know, heaven forbid I slept with somebody that I didn't sleep with, so I hide. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, too. Sometimes that works, too.
Yeah.
It's safer anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't working a booth this weekend. I went as a customer to just hang out with our camera guy and have fun with him. So, you know, I got to the event, and the first thing I did was I walked over and got a beer. And the next thing I know, somebody's handing me another one. And the next thing you know, I'm, like, buying tons of them. And then I walk out.
That sounds like my kind of bar.
Completely drunk. I had to go to my car. I had to go to my car and sober up for an hour and a half or something.
You know what? In my defense, I do have to say that EVP, and Jody, I know exactly what you're talking about, because that EVP that was captured by Dennis of me was thanks to our good friends Dave Tango and Steve and Grant. I was walking past, and Dave Tango grabs me. He's like, "Dude, do a shot with me." I'm like, "No, man. I'm like, I'm good. Thanks for the offer, though." He's like, fuck that. No, you're doing a shot with me." So next thing, I'm like, "All right, cool." So next thing I know, I do a shot, and then Grant goes, "Oh, here, buddy, you got another one right here." He's like, "You're doing one with me." I'm like, "Oh, shit." So
an hour and a half later, on the ground, I'm such a lightweight.
Yeah, and an hour and a half later, it was, yeah. I hear Dave scream over to the bartender, "Hey, come here." I'm like, "All right, cool." So bartender comes over. I was like, "Yeah, can I close up my tab?" He's like, "Yeah, close his out. He's on us for the rest of the night and get him two more rounds." I'm like, "Oh, come on."
Oh, no.
They were trying
We ended up running into some of the Deep South guys. So my round two, after I went to the car and sobered up for a while, I went back, met up with Phil. He's wasted. And then the Deep South guys come by and they hand him this huge jug of that moonshine. And
we're
drinking that. Then I'm buying shots. Then I'm like, "I'll take another beer." And then I'm like, "Shit, I need to slow down again." And then I stopped.
I love moonshine.
They actually have it down sober. It tastes pretty good. They mix it with orange juice and pineapple juice.
Oh, nice. Sounds like my kind of drink.
It was pretty freaking good. I was like, "Oh, shit. Don't introduce me to this."
There's
I can't handle that.
That
here
video
in Iowa, we have apple
terrible.
Pie moonshine.
Oh, I've had apple pie moonshine before. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had
peach moonshine, too.
Peach moonshine is pretty tasty as well.
The jar that they handed us was had cinnamon sticks in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I was
Phil
drinking
was
girly drinks all night.
Oh, yeah,
I don't drink the heavy drinks anymore. I drink girly drinks. I drink, like, daiquiris and pina coladas. But I don't mess around no more. I said, "Give me the girliest thing you've got, and that's what I want." And usually it's the strongest drink they got.
Yeah. I'm a beer drinker. I was drinking Blue Moons the whole time.
Oh, girl. You are so my style. I love me.
Hell yeah.
Stella, a little Stella Artois, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Stella's
Stella. Awesome. Just love
good
beer.
Stuff.
Yeah, if I'm drinking alcohol, then it's definitely I'm drinking screwdrivers, but I'm usually a beer girl, so.
I love
it's
beer.
Only, it's, a, it's only a special occasions where I drink much vodka anymore. Because just the next day is not so much fun.
Right? You're always safe with beer. You're always safe.
Yeah.
Vodka makes me think of, like, hand sanitizer. I don't know. And then when I smell hand sanitizer, it makes me think of vodka, and I feel like I'm going to throw up.
You're drinking the wrong kind of vodka.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
just like the beer and whiskey. Yeah, and I like rum.
Yeah, I think I'm a pirate. I love my rum.
I love
rum,
too.
I convince myself I'm a pirate when I drink rum.
I walk like a pirate when I drink rum.
How many times have you done the Captain Morgan pose?
Too many to count.
Captain Morgan pose.
Well, so you think you're a pirate?
Leg up.
Yeah, the one leg up and the elbow
oh,
up.
Oh yeah,
thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm way too many to count.
Now,
you guys are making me want a shot.
You know, being models in Pop and Cuties, and then you go to these events and kind of, you know, dress according to maybe what character you took a shot, you know, photo shoot with. Mm-hmm. But how acceptive is the public to it? Because I know with Jody and Megan and her crew, they caught a lot of flack for being good looking chicks in the paranormal, and if they dress a little bit
oh,
more
yeah.
revealing, they catch a lot of hell for it.
Oh yeah, yeah. People will gawk and stare and just definitely. Actually, when we went to the convention, we went to get like pizza or something, and I still had on like my Freddy Krueger long shirt, short mini dress thing, and my boobs were all bloody and like hanging out. And I don't normally dress like that and walk around in public, but you know, we were at the convention and stuff, and we were going to get pizza, and I felt like everyone was just like staring at us like. I dress like horror normally, but I'm not like that ridiculous unless I'm doing like an event or something.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like with anything. You've got a group of good-looking girls. You're gonna have people who. I mean, we had many, many a wife and husband walk by, where the wife kind of pulling them along. One wife actually came up, and it was hilarious. She came up, and she was like trying to get her husband to come up, and he was like. Kind of like, no, and she's like, he thinks he's going to get in trouble if he comes over here. So she grabbed a couple business cards, and she's like, I'll give him these. that was pretty cool, but we definitely did have kind of, you know, we get our scares here and there, and, you know, it's expected to happen. I mean, you know, not everyone's going to accept what we do, and, you know, we know that, but we
yeah,
love what we
yeah.
do, so we're going to continue to do it, so.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yeah, most of the girls that work with the magazine or I've worked with, in my experiences, they're pretty pro about it. I mean, you know, they're able to deal with people and the stupid questions that the people who really don't know what's going on. Because, you know, sometimes someone can ask you a question about it and they're really not trying to be a smartass. They just have never experienced or seen anything like that before on the street, besides seeing it from the TV set or the internet. So when they come across it, sometimes they're not always being a smartass, and you've got to kind of like, you know, have fun with it. Although, you know, it can get old when someone asks you the same question all the time about what you do, why are you like that, and obviously it's for a reason and they still don't get it. That can be annoying, but, you know, sometimes I give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, how many girls have you had come in for a shoot?
Come in to how many girls I shot with?
Yeah, how many girls have you worked with so far?
Oh God, I couldn't count. I mean,
wow.
probably close to the 50 number of girls
wow.
I've worked with.
Wow.
It's growing and forever growing. I mean, I have. A list of 50 girls that I have to get back to this week.
Wow.
Meeting one.
Yay! I'm so excited.
But I'm actually narrowing things down. Like I said, I opened up the flood doors to allow certain changes in that I wouldn't normally could be going by from the first format that I was going to be sticking with. I actually have contracts now for girls who actually call from cuties, like they are a call from cutie. When they go out, they have the shirt, they represent the magazine, they can go to their own events outside of us and represent Coffin Cuties and sell magazines and their own prints and whatever else. Like, we have panties and all kinds of different things, barf bags. So these girls can go out as private agents and promote and work with whoever and come across things outside of if they're not in Baltimore, they can be, you know, like I have a girl, Deborah, she's in Seattle. And, you know, she's going to be doing her Coffin Cuties thing out there, but she's a contracted model by Coffin Cuties. So there are contracts now that I'm having girls that are going to be permanent and always be working with us and doing events and in the magazine. There's little perks and stuff involved with all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Dude, I got a few referrals of people right up all your guys' alley here from Chicago, so I can send them your way.
Yeah, man.
Shoot
them over on Facebook. Friends, suggest them. Let them know about the site. Let them get their information to us, and we'll check them out.
Cool, yeah. And then the girls are models, and two of them actually have their own fashion design line, which is
right
kind
on.
Of along the same lines, too. So,
right on. Yeah. I support all that stuff. I mean, most of the girls and people and every aspect that I work with have something going on. Not necessarily, you know, whether they're designers or they're doing special effects or they're doing makeup and hair, props, movies, acting. We have so many different varieties of people that we work with, but we all enjoy the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's we have a tight weave of a family right now that we work with, and it just seems to be ever-growing, including you guys.
Yeah.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Party.
Yeah, I definitely, like I told you this week, Mike, when we were talking, I definitely want to help any way I can to help promote you guys and what y'all do.
Yeah, that'd be
thank
great.
You.
Know?
Awesome.
And,
that's
we
really
love the South. We're on the Mason Dixon line, but we love the South.
And then the awkward pause where no one talks.
Right.
Hey, I'm.
All right, guys, it's
I'm
past my bedtime.
You be first, girl.
I'm usually in bed with my kitty right about now.
All one knows the Alamo have a basement. Does the Alamo have a basement? I'm still trying to figure that out.
No.
Okay.
No.
Pee-wee's bike is not
I gotta
in
finish
the
watching
basement
the movie
of
again.
The Alamo. It's in the basement of the Alamo.
I'm still waiting for the day when I can get in the Alamo and do a paranormal investigation.
That would be awesome. That would be amazing.
I can only imagine that you'd pick up there.
I want to hear that EVP.
As long as Bowie doesn't stick his Bowie knife up my ass, then we're good.
Oh, is that a common occurrence?
No.
Bowie knife up the ass.
Bowie up the ass. Happened 1,000 times. I've seen it all every other day.
Hey, well, the other thing I wanted to extend to Mike and the girls and everything, if you guys have anything coming up at all, like just and not just, you know, right, you know, close to now, just in the future, anytime that you guys want. Anytime that you guys want, Dennis and I do Monday and Wednesday nights on URN Network, so you're more than welcome to have a reoccurring spot. Anything you have coming up, you want to promote it, you want to get the word out there, you're more than welcome.
Sure.
Just shoot me a message, call in, you know, you want,
yay!
10 minutes, you want an hour, like whatever.
Sure.
And
awesome.
Even anything
thank
individual.
Thank you, seriously.
Yeah, that would be great. Awesome, thanks, guys.
We definitely appreciate the support.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
What was that?
I said you have a complete open invitation on our shows, and I wish Dennis is, and trust me, once Dennis's crazy ass gets involved, it's and Kevin and Jody know, it's a damn good time. Well, you guys met him at Parafest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Goofy
I remember
thought.
He was excited, and he was like, I don't know if it's a good thing that my hangover's gone or a bad thing that I'm about to start drinking again.
Hair of the dog that bit you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I woke up at Parafest, and I was like, time for Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love Bloody Marys.
Oh, so amazing. Theirs kind of sucks, though. They didn't have any, like, hot sauce or any of the good shit to put in it.
See,
like
I'm a wuss with the hot sauce.
I got food
poisoning with
horseradish, so.
You know what we did is we went upstairs to Emeril's and got hot sauce. Like, I went upstairs, I borrowed bottles of hot sauce, I borrowed black pepper, and I borrowed horseradish, and I walked down with a whole bunch of it in my arms, and we filled our stuff, and then I brought it, and they actually let me leave the bar with it, and trust me to bring it back to them.
That and Dennis, we were bitching that we didn't have any hot sauce for our margaritas, so Dennis went out to his friends and was like, I swear I have hot sauce out here. He comes back with like five packets of Taco Bell sauce.
Yeah.
We're like, what's the
hot
mile?
Bear day.
Well, we're getting down to the last part of the show, so I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to throw out your website and everything so people can go check you out.
Okay, Liz, I'm going to let you do it.
All right. Well, you can search for us on Facebook.
She's the organized one in the family.
And you can search for us on Facebook by looking up Coffin Cuties Magazine, or you can go to facebook.com/pages/coffin-cuties-magazine. And you can also find us on coffincuties.com.
Nice.
Get us on Instagram as
well. Yes, that's right. And Tumblr. We're on Tumblr as well. Instagram,
Twitter.
Tumblr, Facebook. Instagram and Tumblr, as well as Facebook.
Yes,
and
we have Bloody Cuties across the web.
Yes, and again, coffincuties.com. You can find us there, too.
Nice. Well, thanks so much to you guys for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah,
well, thank
you
for
having
us.
Thanks
for having us. Yeah, that was great.
Hey,
I had
no
a lot of
problem.
Fun. I mean, I love you guys. Megan
we
as well.
Love
we
you.
Love you,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, it was really nice talking
yeah.
to you guys.
Matt.
Yeah, I'm glad I got
sexy
a chance
ghost,
to talk to you guys.
Girl boners.
Yes.
I'm excited to,
yes.
you know, do some ghost hunting and shooting.
Yes,
nice.
And we have to do a shoot where we sacrifice a virgin. It's going to get sexual.
All right, all right. I am so in.
Who's got the knife?
Damn.
I'm sorry, I got a sash under my bed.
You gave me, now you gave me a mental image. Wow. I'm a lot for words.
One virgin, it could be three virgins.
You're gonna have to leave now, aren't you?
Well, like I said, guys, myself and everybody else on the network will do everything we can to support you guys and open invitation on my shows as well. So anytime
awesome.
You guys
thank
have anything to promote, just let me know.
Well,
no
thank you very much.
We'll see
you
on top of that right away.
And thanks again for the support. You guys have been awesome.
Yeah,
yeah
we really
yeah.
appreciate it. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
thanks
know,
for having us. Really appreciate it.
Support each other.
It is.
Absolutely.
Us girls got to stick together.
Yeah.
Us weirdos got to stick together.
And we
got
to have you guys to have our back. The guys play a role too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we gotta get together somehow soon.
Yeah.
That was a solid answer, Kevin. That was a solid answer. How you feel this? Yeah.
That's our slang down here. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That was a solid Texas answer, man. That brings me back
home. I know he was
holding
gang symbols up while he was doing it.
Yeah, we gotta get together. Yeah.
If you didn't see, he had like the big gang symbol in one hand and like the sign of the kiss the goat in the other. Yeah.
Awesome.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I think we might turn our ghost box on tonight too, see if we can contact you guys later.
Yeah, we can totally hook up via ghost box. That'd be sick.
I'm definitely gonna
do the ghost box with you.
Oh yeah.
I'm definitely gonna go downstairs and rub some lotion on my skin.
All right, good. So hold the gap
to this conversation.
Oh my. And we'll skin you alive. That's another good one.
Yeah. Oh, God, I don't want to think of that one. That one was a scary one. Let's not go back to that. I'm trying to erase that from my memory with the lotion on the skin.
Well, you have to get the skin nice and soft before they can skin you. Otherwise,
nice and supple.
Yeah, it's a painful job.
I do have five ghost box total. I can part with like two of them if you guys want. I can send them to you.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, that would be so cool.
You're gonna scare and terrify the hell out of these girls. I can see it now.
I'm gonna love every second of it. That's fine. Like I said, I have like five of them, and you don't really need five.
We would do
one, but Anna's going to be scared every night.
I am. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep. My cat won't protect me. She's a scary cat, too.
But, yeah, no, since I'm friends with you guys now on Facebook and individually, not only the Coffin Cuties site and all that stuff, I'll get in contact with Mike, with you, and everybody else, and...
Awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. One. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll shoot a few of you guys. Oh, or if you want, I can make one for everybody and I'll just send them to you.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. Let us know what works better. Yeah, that way we can put our broadcast of what happens to us on live on the show.
No, dude, I don't care. They're not mine. I open them up. I clip a wire and bend something off, and then they work.
Oh, wow.
It literally takes 3 minutes per one to make, so.
You should have told us that it took you, like, months to make.
Right.
I put my sweat and blood into this ghost box.
Hey, it's not like I offer this to everybody, okay? I'm offering it to you guys. I love you guys.
Exclusive. I know.
Well, the Coffin Cuties will take it.
Yes.
I'll take a couple pictures of the girls using the ghost box.
We'll get a sweet pic.
Yes. Awesome.
All right, well, you guys have a great night, and I'm so glad y'all came on tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
thank you very much,
Colonel Outlaw.
That's right. You're welcome.
We had all the time. Okay, we'll be in touch. Thank you very much. Have a good night, everybody.
Yes, thanks, Mike and Larry. I can't wait to work with you guys.
Hell yeah.
I can't wait either, Megan. I can't wait to work with you guys or shoot with you guys, and whatever comes up from this will be great.
Awesome. You guys take care. Have a great night, and thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. Hey, Kevin, Jody, if Megan's still with us, I'll hop off so you guys can do your show close. But thank you for bringing me in. I definitely appreciate it. And I will talk to you guys soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
And then there were three of us.
Thank you so much, Megan, for being here for me in my time of not need, but earlier.
Oh, yeah. I always have a blast doing these shows.
Yeah.
Megan is Jody's stunt double.
I am. Huh? I am Jody's stunt double, minus the long brown hair. Slash black.
That's what makes you so perfect.
Yeah.
I'll never
I
go
think
blonde,
if we
okay?
do, that works. I think if we do a Hot Squad and Cop and Cutie shoot, it's going to be freaking insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I want blood to be poured on me, okay? That's all I know.
I'll pour some blood on you.
Please do. Only if you sacrifice me. I'll take a fucking sword to your neck.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd love a sword to my throat. This is how we roll. We're fucking crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's why, Jody, if you haven't noticed on just this show on the network, none of the others, all the others are rated for mature audiences. Ours is rated for explicit audiences.
And there's a reason for that.
Yes, there is.
Oh, man. Now, what do we got going on next Tuesday, Miss Jody?
I am clueless as to what is going on, but I'm sure something will be
doing. Yeah, I think your camera guy Phil is going to come on and some other folks, so should be an interesting
one. I got to talk to Phil and. Yeah, I'm going to ask for both the camera guys to the Paranormal Hot Squad come on, and we can talk about what it's been like to be the only guys in the Paranormal Hot Squad. And, within reason, of course, we're not going to spill all beans, but...
Right.
We will still play.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell them guys how jealous I am of them.
Really?
Yeah. Because
they get all the fun. Jeez.
Yeah, they get to see all the fun happening.
They really do. I mean, Brad saw me completely naked the other night. You know, it's just like whatever. Phil's seen. Who knows what? But yeah, they do get to have the fun. They do.
But Phil has seen and felt the fun.
Yeah, and felt. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, he
was boy.
In there and started squeezing the old boobie. I was like, Phil. And he's like, I know.
I know that you girls are, and I'm sure you still don't know when, but I know you're working on getting some of your movies out from Paranormal Hot Squad.
Yes, actually, that would be yours truly over here. I have to design the all of the aesthetics for it, and then they will be up for sale online soon, so... Definitely, everybody, yep. Stay tuned. We'll have our movies up soon.
Yep, we're gonna try and shoot by next week, hopefully.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That'll
we're
be excited. Awesome.
You guys will... We've got a lot of stuff coming up that we're
we do
you know, be preparing for, and we're gonna raise the bar so freaking hard, Kevin. Okay.
I hear you. I got you back.
Yeah, we know that.
Yep.
Love you.
Yeah. Now, Miss Jody, are you on the studio board?
I am.
We got about a minute.
And I will find
we got about a minute left, time. So I'll do my plugging, and then you can play us out of here.
Got it.
Tomorrow is Full Spectrum Radio right here on the URN Radio Network, 8 p.m. Central to 10 p.m. Central. Thursdays is Ghost Raps Radio with Big Ray, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And Friday is Paranormal Access Radio. I'm sad to say that Paranormal Access Radio, Chris and Amy, they got
They got school going on now, and the 27th of this month is going to be their last broadcast. So I'm losing Paranormal Access Radio on Friday, so I'm going to have to find me some other folks to do a show.
Oh, I think I know somebody. I'll send you an inbox because somebody just left their network, and I will let Kevin know.
Sweet.
So,
and I might be losing Ray because he's trying to go start his own kind of thing on a different format instead of Blog Talk, which I'm talking to him, letting him kind of toy with it first and see how it works, and it might be something we all go to, but we might be losing him as well, so I might have a Thursday night open as well. But that's okay. I'll find other shows.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Always do.
Yeah. All right, cool beans. Here we go.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for that ass.